Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are listening to or tuned to Radio Islam International on the medium wave frequency via Radio Islam website and also through audio streaming. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm your host, Sister Zainat, and a hearty welcome to the program this morning called Socially Speaking. And just an idea as to what you can look forward to during this hour, inshallah. First up is Monday Morning Focus. In this slot, we focus on how to be an ideal Muslimah. And I share with you an extract from the book, Ideal Muslimah. And, you know, just some important aspects that a true believer would like to emulate, inshallah. And in this chapter, the Muslimah, or rather the Muslim woman and her community and society. Today I'll be covering why a Muslim woman avoids cursing and foul language. Now, this is something that's very important and very important for us as Muslim women to be aware of. You know, not to curse and not to use foul language. Now, unfortunately, many a times, you know, we as women, unfortunately, you know, sometimes when we get very angry, we tend to become or use foul language, and in the process, in this anger of ours, we end up cursing, which as a Muslim woman, or as Muslims generally, we should not be doing. It's something that should be avoided at all cost, inshallah, and I'll share with you that in a few moments. Coming up next, or that will be followed rather, by Through the Eyes of a Child. It's a series of programs that I've been doing for the last month, and maybe this will be the last one, A Preschooler's World. And this is all about how mums and dads can do so much to ease this growing experience. Yes, of course, we're already in the second month of the year. Children have started. Most of our children have settled down, alhamdulillah. You know, being the second month of the year, and especially with new children at school, some of them are still struggling. But alhamdulillah, most of our children, shukr, have kind of settled down in school. But what I'm going to be discussing today is what to do if your child does not enjoy school, or perhaps has no friends and also does not like the teacher. Now, those are things that come up as the year, as the year progresses. But it's the second month of the year. You know, the first few months, the first few weeks, we take it for granted the children are a little unsettled. And but hopefully by the second, third month, shukr, alhamdulillah, they settled in school. But now, the question is, if your child comes home and he just refuses to go back to school, doesn't want to go, doesn't enjoy school, or perhaps have no friends. And another very important point is when a child does not like the teacher, what do you do as parents? So hopefully that's what we're going to be talking to you about in the second half of the program. But for now, it's Monday Morning Focus, and it's the Ideal Muslimah. We're talking about a Muslimah avoids cursing and foul language. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Muslim woman who has absorbed the good manners taught by Islam never utters obscene language or foul words, or offends people with curses and insults. So, as a Muslim woman, this is something that we need not do at all. We shouldn't even be thinking in those lines, because she knows that the moral teachings of Islam completely forbids all such talk. So that's it, we are forbidden, completely forbidden to slander, to curse and to insult people, to use foul language. It's absolutely ugly to listen to a woman using foul language. I don't know if any of you have ever come across people that, you know, use foul language and curse and swear. Oh, Allahu Akbar. It's terrible. So, you know, we are actually forbidden, completely forbidden to use this. Cursing is seen as a sin that damages the quality of a person's adherence to Islam. And the foul-mouthed person is intensely disliked by Allah. So it's not only ugly and disliked by people, you know, around you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely dislikes people that you know, that have foul mouths, that uses foul language, that you know, it's just terrible. I think, you know, if you listen to people talking like that, Allah forbids you even have to listen to people like that. But if you do happen to come across people that talk that way, you know, you should just stay away from it completely, and you know, say astaghfirullah. Now, Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu related that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, cursing a Muslim is a sin and killing him is kufr. So cursing is a sin and killing him obviously is kufr. On another occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah does not love anyone who is foul mouthed and obscene. Allah doesn't love anyone who is foul-mouthed and obscene. And Allah will hate the disgusting foul-mouthed person. So, do we want to be hated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we want to be disliked by Allah or not loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then we should avoid, you know, being foul-mouthed, that is, uttering foul language, that is, swearing and cursing people. We should avoid being like that. You know, just stay away from it. It's a sin. It is a quality that does not befit the Muslim woman who has been guided by the truth of Islam and whose heart has been filled with the sweetness of faith. A Muslim, you know, should not at all. If you say you are a Muslim, then you should never swear. You should never hurt another person's feeling. It's just, as we should know that by doing that, it is a sin. So she keeps herself far away from disputes and arguments in which cheap insults and curses are traded. So what do we do as Muslim women? Now, obviously, this I am talking to our Muslim sisters, but I think it is also so important for our Muslim brothers out there that are perhaps listening to this program to realize that this is not only for Muslim women, it's definitely for Muslim men out there too, because men too, unfortunately, have this habit of, and sometimes even more than women, where they, you know, they can swear at people so easily. You know, we need to be aware of that all the time. But as a Muslim woman, we should be keeping away from this at all times. And the best way of keeping away from situations where you can make the mistake of using foul language is to stay away from disputes and arguments in which cheap insults and curses, you know, can be easily be traded with each other. The alert Muslim woman is further encouraged to avoid such moral decadence whenever she remembers the beautiful example set by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all his words and his deeds. If we just look at what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, his character, his way of speaking, then we as Muslims should stay away from, obviously, anything that's evil. It is known that he never, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, never uttered any words that could hurt a person's feeling, damage his reputation, or also insult his honor. He never, ever hurt a person's feeling. He never used to say things that would hurt a person's reputation, or he never used to insult people, no matter what. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam closely for many, many years, said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never used foul language or cursed or swore. When he wanted to rebuke someone, he would say, what is wrong with him? That's all he used to say, what is wrong with this person? May his forehead be covered in dust. That's the worst thing that would come out of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mouth. He even refrained from cursing the kafirin who had hardened their hearts to his message. He never spoke a harmful word to them. As the great Sahabi Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, it was said, O Messenger of Allah, pray against the mushrikeen. And what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reply? He said, I am not sent as a curse, but I am sent as a mercy. You know, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to so many difficulties and hardships at the hands of the kafir, but he never ever cursed. Instead, he would pray for them. He would make dua for them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam excelled in removing the roots of evil, hatred and enmity in people's hearts when he explained to the Muslims that the one who gives his tongue free rein in slandering people and their wealth and their honor is the one who is truly ruined. So the one that is very easily, you know, swears and slanders people for whatever reason, those are the ones that are truly ruined. Not the ones that you are swearing in, cursing. No. So you will only, and also very important that you are not only ruined, you know, you won't only have to pay for it in the year after, but you are ruined in this world and, of course, in the next as well. So you will be humiliated in this world and in the year after. His aggressive attitude towards others will cancel out whatever good deeds he may have done in his life, and on the day of judgment, he will be abandoned with no protection from the fire. The Prophet ﷺ said, do you know who is the one who is ruined? Do you want to know who the one is that is ruined? They said, the poor people said, it is the one who has no money or possessions. Rasulullah ﷺ then replied, the one who is ruined among my ummah is the one who comes in on the day of resurrection with prayer, fasting, zakah to his credit. So you'll be having prayer, fasting and zakah to your credit, but he insulted this one, slandered that one, devoured this one's wealth, shed that one's blood, and beat that one. So you may have been very punctual with your salah, with your fasting, and with your zakat. You'll have all this to your credit, but you have insulted, you have slandered, you have shed the blood of this person, you have beaten that one, you have insulted this one. So what will happen? Some of his hasanat, some of his good deeds will be given to this one and some to that one. So what will happen? All those good deeds will be taken away from you and instead it will be given to this one and to that one, those that had suffered under you. And if his hasanat run out before all his victims have been compensated, then some of their sins will then be taken and it will add it to his, then he will be thrown into the hell. So, you know, we need to be so careful. We need to be so careful. We have all these reminders every day of our lives, but we still continue living, the wrong way. Not the way that we as Muslims should behave. We behave wrongly. We go out of our way to hurt other people's feelings. We curse them. We swear them. We do all the wrong things that we're not supposed to be doing. But this is what we will get. I'll just share that with you again. Do you know who is the one who is ruined? And the people thought, okay, it will be the one that has no more money or possessions. But no, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the one who is ruined among my ummah is the one who comes on the day of resurrection. He'll come with all his good deeds. He'll come with his prayer, his fasting, and his zakat to his credit. But he you know, he insulted this one, and he insulted or slandered that one. He devoured the one's, this one's wealth, and shed that one's blood, and beat this one up. So what happens on the day of Qiyamah? Some of his hasanat, some of his good deeds will be given to this one and to that one, all those that you have hurt in the process. And if this good deeds run out before all of his victims have been compensated, then some of their sins then will be taken and added to his. That, and obviously it will become so much that he will be then thrown into hell. So please remember that we need to be so careful when we are not, when we are, we know that something is a sin, then we need to go and stay away from it. Cursing and foul language does not befit a Muslim. Not surprisingly, therefore, all of this is eliminated from the life of a true Muslim woman. To our sisters out there, these are things that should be, you know, just out of our lives. We need to eliminate it completely. Disputes and arguments which could lead to curses and insults are in the community of true Muslim women that is based on the virtues of good manners, respect for the feelings of others, and a refined level of social interaction. And, you know, I think it's so important for us to remember that as Muslim women, you know, we always, many, you know, people just talk about this all the time, daughter-in-laws, mother-in-laws, sister-in-laws, you know, in families we have all these disputes. But, and what happens in the process when we have all these arguments? We end up fighting, we end up cursing, we use foul language. And what do we do to each other? We hurt each other's feelings. And as Muslims, this does not befit us. And especially as Muslim women, we should stay away from all of this. And we should take every possible precaution to stay away from this evil sin. And that is all about using cursing and using foul language. Inshallah, Allah protect us and Allah guide us. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments when we continue with the next slot, Through the Eyes of a Child. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program, or to the slot rather, Through the Eyes of a Child. And in this series of programs that I've been doing for the last few weeks, it's all about the preschooler's world. And what we share with you in this program today is just about how mums and dads can do a lot to ease this growing experience. This, however, will probably be the last program that I will be doing in this slot, inshallah. And what we're going to be talking to you about today is, what do you do if your child does not enjoy school? And we also want to look at if your child has no friends and if your child does not like his teacher. These are things, very pertinent, you know, points that we want to discuss with our listeners out there. In our last program, just a brief recap, just briefly to tell you, we spoke about practical ways in which you can help your child. We looked at things like drawing, how you can assist your child in drawing, how you can help your child to do drawing, but help him, but not help him at all as well. We also looked at puzzles, how puzzles can actually help a child, you know, develop and become confident, alhamdulillah. And in this way, how they can learn or become aware of position and space. We looked at how you as a parent can actually play with your child by just doing simple things like throwing a ball and letting her catch and throw it back to you. You know, this helps in their physical activities, and it exercises their large and their gross motor skills. Where language is concerned, you know, how to actually teach them the alphabet, not by letting them learn it off by heart or parrot-like fashion, A, B, C, D kind of thing. Or what you can do to actually encourage your children is, for example, looking at billboards, you know, when they learn to spell their names, to distinguish the different letters in those words. And you teach them that way instead of teaching them the parrot fashion way. Then also, you know, things to expect from your child, to allow them to do certain things, you know, do certain chores. Those are some very important things that we as parents have to actually do for our children. And in this case, you know, where you allow your child to learn to do things, not by doing it for them, especially if they can do it, but allow them to do it for themselves. Some important things that, you know, it's just some ways in which we can help our children develop and also gain confidence. And this is what you actually want when your child starts school, to be able to be confident and be able to have all these necessary skills, you know, for a child when they start school. Okay, now a year has gone, rather a month has gone by. We are already in the second month of the school year as well. And your child perhaps, well, is in perhaps grade 1 or grade R as it is known nowadays, or in grade 1 for that matter. And your child comes home suddenly and informs you that he or she doesn't enjoy going to school anymore. It's very common. You do find your children suddenly coming, I don't want to go back, and they throw tantrums and they cry and they perform, and you cannot get them to school, and you know they delay you. And what do you do? Well, there's a few things that you need to consider, and I'm going to share this with you. The first and the most important one is to always consult the teacher and explain your concerns without blaming the school. I think, you know, don't just start blaming, because what we suddenly we just feel, oh, it is the school, you know, there's problems at the school. Maybe they are, you know, too strict with the children. They not, you know, they don't have, they don't, you know, parents just end up always blaming without considering the facts first. So it's important for you when this happens is to consult the teacher and explain your concerns with the teacher. Obviously, you need to do it in a very good, you know, a nice way. Don't go out there ready to attack the teacher without even knowing what the problem really is. In fact, if you speak to them, they may be able to tell you what the problem is. So if you have a problem like this, now suddenly your child refuses to go to school, the most important thing is to first go and, you know, consult the teacher and, you know, find out what the problem is. Maybe the teacher can exactly tell you what the problem is, why the child is suddenly behaving the way they are. There may have been something that, you know, was that resulted in the child now behaving like this. The second point is, has anything changed at home? For instance, there may be a new baby you know, coming along. Or perhaps there's marital problems. This can affect your child. You sometimes don't realize it, but, you know, it has many effects on the child. So if perhaps there's marital problems, maybe even a divorce happening, can you imagine how this affects the child? And this could be a reason why the child don't want to go back to school. They feel so insecure that they want to be at home with their parents. Or maybe, like we said, another example was perhaps a new baby coming. That again, you know, comes with its own little problems. A child has starts feeling insecure that this new baby is coming, this new sibling's coming into my life. He's going to be taking over. That's why they've sent me to school. They want me out of the way. You know, these are little thoughts. Don't underestimate your child. There's so much going on in that little brain of theirs. So it's important for us to remember to think about all these possibilities that can be the cause of the child suddenly deciding, I don't want to go back to school. Another important thing is, has anything changed at school? Yes, perhaps the child has been sitting with this particular little friend this is just an example. They become close over this month, and suddenly they had to change places. Maybe the teacher felt, whatever the reason may have been, the teacher has put them into another, sit in another desk for that matter, change friends for that matter, or change, and the child may feel so sad about it. There may be a problem there, or anything can come up. But the thing, the most important thing is to speak to your teacher. Go and consult with the teacher. Find out what the reason may be that the child suddenly is behaving this way. Maybe the child has even been put into another class, and it happens. Maybe for whatever reason they have decided that, we have to change children and this child can go into a next class. But if there's a problem like this, then it has to be brought to the notice of the teacher so that she, appropriate plans can be made then. So if this happens, don't just sit with it and not talk about it and not want to go and speak to the teacher and start blaming the school for everything. No. Very important, communication between you as a parent and the teacher. Of course, there's a way of speaking to teachers too. You don't just go out there and start blaming the teacher for everything. I mean, it's not the right way. It's the important thing is to find out what your child is, the most important thing, and you need to find out what is making the child unhappy perhaps, and who is the best person to speak to but the teacher. Another important thing is your child socializing adequately. Does your child have friends? Is your child making friends? Is there a problem where your child, there may be a problem. Maybe the child is undergoing some kind of bullying which he doesn't like, or maybe he's not getting his way, because you must know he may have been at home and he may have been getting his way where other children were concerned in the house, but now he's at school, there's other children around him, and he's not getting his way. So perhaps it's causing a bit of a problem where this child is concerned. So look at that. Is your child socializing adequately? Is your child finding work difficult? Again, work isn't very important. Maybe he's not able to cope with the kind of work that he's supposed to be doing, with the amount of work that they are doing. Maybe he's not familiar with this work, and he's finding it very difficult. He may have a bit of a problem. So this needs to be addressed with the teacher as well. Are more exciting things happening at home? For instance, are you doing things your child would like to do? Or is a younger sibling staying at home when the older child has to go to school? Sometimes we don't realize it, but when we, one child is gone to school, you still have other children at home. And you may be doing things with this other child that the one that is at school is not doing, obviously, because he's at school, and this may cause a problem, and the child may be feeling that I'm being left, I get left out, I can't be doing things with my mom and dad, I was doing it all the time, and now only the sibling at home is doing all the fun things, and I have to sit at school, and this may cause some kind of a problem. And of course, it's also very important for you as a parent, when you are talking to your children, not to make the child feel that, you're at school, so you're missing out, and we, at home, and we having more fun. So that obviously, could also be one of the reasons why your child doesn't want to go to school. He wants to be at home, also doing the same things that you are doing with the other child. And yeah, so this is also important. When you're talking about the things that you are doing with the other child at home, not to make him feel that you are now being left out because you are at school. So he would obviously want to be at home for that. That could be one of the reasons too. I mean, there's many, many other reasons too, but these are just some of the examples that I'm sharing with you. Very important too is your child getting enough sleep, because if they're not getting enough sleep, then they're tired and they're exhausted at school. So, this, and obviously if they're not sleeping early enough, then it's so difficult to get them out of bed in the morning, and this could be one of the reasons, just to get up. I don't want to get up. It becomes such a big fight early in the morning to get these children out of school. So make sure that your children are getting enough sleep. They go home, you know. If your children have now suddenly, you know, when your children were not at school, it was fine to go around during the weekdays and visit and, you know, spend late nights. But now that your children are at school, you have to change your way of life a little. You have to be at home at a certain time and make sure that your children are at home and, you know, they are settling down. And, you know, it's important for you to realize these important things too, that your children need to sleep. They're going to fight you. They'd love to go out with you too. But it's important for them to sleep early so that they get their adequate amount of sleep in. Another point, also very important and which could also cause a lot of anxiousness in children, is are you as a parent, whether it's a mother or the father or whoever's picking up your children at school, are you on time to fetch your children from school? Children get extremely anxious when they have to wait for their mom or for their dad to pick them up at school. Is your child getting enough free time to just play, or are there too many extramural activities? You know, sometimes we don't realize it, but we do get our children involved in too many extramural activities. It's good for them to be involved in other activities as well, other than just going to school, but we need to be careful that we don't overdo it. So, yes, look at that also. And then, what is your attitude towards the school? Do you speak positively about the school and the teacher? Or do you support school? And, of course, also, do you support things like school functions or you know, having to go to school for whatever it is? I know it's the beginning of the year. You may not have attended so many other than maybe the sports days and things like that. But the thing is, what is your attitude towards the school when, you know, these things come up, any function at the school, any activities at the school, whether parents are also involved or just activities that has to take place? Are you actually, and you know, are you positive about them, or do you show a negative attitude towards this? Because even this can affect your child. Do you show an interest in your child, or rather what your child is doing at school? This is so important. You know, you need to find out every day what your child has been doing, how his day was at school. You know, what did he have, and how was his school day? You know, you need to show an interest in what your child has been doing at school. So it's important for you to actually talk to your child about his school day. Set a little time aside where you can actually talk to him and find out what he's been doing at school. How was his school day today? What have they been doing? You know, anything new that they have learned today. It's so important for that little time that you should, you know, actually spend with your child to find out how his day was. Well, if you've considered all these important points, then this is the action that you should also take. If you've spoken to the teacher and you found out what the problem is, or you may not have found out what the problem is, but you need to work with the school, as this requires team work. And also you should ensure that all these points that we've discussed has been addressed. So if there's any problem, then you need to address the problem and make sure that, you know, the child feels comfortable in school. You need to talk to your child, encourage and try to get her to talk about her feelings. Very important. We spoke about that, communication. I don't think there's a more important word than communication with your child. And unfortunately, sometimes the issue does persist, but if it does persist, then you need to involve a child psychologist or perhaps a play therapist to help your child explore her feelings. And many a times, or most schools do have psychologists on hand, and if there is a problem, then it needs to be addressed. So, you know, it's no, you know, it's not a big deal if your child does have a problem and does need to see a psychologist. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with your way of upbringing your child or things like that. You know, sometimes people go in, parents go into denial and they feel, no, we didn't do anything. We brought up our children properly. There couldn't possibly be a problem. But, you know, it's not about that. You need to help your child. It's your child that needs help. So if it needs, if it's necessary for a psychologist to assist the child, then please, you know, you'd rather do it now when the child is young, when the child is just started school, than to leave it and the problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger and then it becomes too much to handle at a later stage. We're going to take a break, and when we return, inshallah, we continue with our program, and we're going to be looking at what if my child has no friends. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments. Okay, what happens when your child cannot make friends or has no friends at school? This happens because you do sometimes get your children coming home and complaining about, Mom, I have no friends, and Mom, you know, this little one, this boy doesn't want to be my friend, or this girl doesn't want to be my friend. And you know, you sometimes feel so sad for your child, but okay, fine, do feel sad, but you need to do something about it. So what do you do? Okay, so here's a few points that hopefully will be of some assistance to you. Right, chat to the teacher about your concerns and ask what is happening at school. So there must be a reason why, you know, the children are not, you know, your child cannot make a friend. So, or may not have a friend for that matter. Then, very important, chat to your teacher. Your teacher is the one that observes their child the most, especially in those grade 1 and grade R. It's one teacher with that child. So, you know, what happens is that the teacher becomes knows the child quite well. And I think they're so trained and they know exactly what is happening in their child's life. Yes, so chat to your teacher about your concerns and ask what is happening in school. And sometimes you cannot get anything out of a child, but you'll be amazed, you know, what a teacher can get out of a child. They become so fond of their teachers that no matter what mom says, doesn't matter, but teacher is the most important person in their lives. So speak to your teacher. Have a wonderful relationship with your teacher, because remember, it's your child. It's your child's life that we are talking about, and your child's happiness at school. So another important thing is have one play day a week where you invite the child home. So now look for ways of trying to get your child to become a friend. Ask him or her, which child would you like for me to you know, for us to invite home so you can play with your friend. And invite the child. Obviously, speak to the parents and try and invite that one child to come home once a week. Ask the teacher to allow your child to sit next to a child of similar nature to her. So a teacher would understand, but try and ask your teacher. I mean, they are most understanding, because even a teacher wants to get the best out of the child. So if you feel there's a problem, then ask your teacher if it's possible to put a child with a similar nature child sitting next to each other, right? Encourage your child to join a small group activity dealing with one of her interests. For example, maybe an art club or whatever else your child has of interest. Then try to meet up with other parents in the class and arrange a time when you can socialize together with the children. Very important. I'm sure, you know, that you may even have a friend whose child is in the same class as your child. Or it's important for you as a parent to be able to make friends with other parents so that your children can become friends easily. You know, it'll help them become friends. So, you know, try and meet up with other parents so that your children can then play together and become a bit of, you know, get together and start getting to know each other, and join a social skills group if necessary. Right, and Okay, now the last one that I want to do with you, and that will bring us to the end of this series of programs, is what do you do if your child doesn't like the teacher? Yes, that is also very common. It does happen where your child ends up not liking the teacher. And mind you, it's important for your child to actually like the teacher, because sometimes it can have a negative effect on that child. So, okay, what do you do? Right, this is what you need to do. Some important points for you to consider. Talk to your child about what is it that she or he does not like about the teacher. And let her know you like the teacher, but understand her feelings. So it's, you know, now, just because your child doesn't like the teacher doesn't mean you're going to end up not liking the teacher. You have to make the child understand that, you know, I want to know what you don't like about the teacher, but remember, I like the teacher, but, you know, you need to, but I do understand how you feel. So, you know, let's talk about it. Then make some suggestions to your child about how she can make things easier. Give her some ideas, you know, for things to become a little easier where your teacher is concerned. You're an adult. You know what the problem now is. So you give your child some ideas as to how to change the situation a little. Explain that unfortunately we all have to work with people at some time in our lives that we do not like. This is so important. We can't just change. Okay, my child doesn't like this teacher. Let's take the child out of this class and put the child into another class. No. They have to learn to, you know, live around these things. These are important things, because at the end of it, you know, you're going to grow up one day. You're going to be living with people you don't like. How do you deal with a situation like that then? So they have to learn from a very young age that, you know, you need to, you work around a situation. If, for instance, you don't like that person, then how can I live around that person without making that person a problem in my life? But now, unfortunately, you know, we have to teach our children this. So tell them that, you know, at some stage in our lives, we are going to be working with people that we don't like. That doesn't mean we have to now leave and not go back to school or not go back to work, for that matter. Talk to the teacher in a non-accusatory manner. Very important. We don't go into the class and start accusing the teacher of things. You know, it's just not the right way to do things. But it's important for you to tell her or him about, you know, your child is not happy, and ask if there's a problem at school, and if your child is perhaps misbehaving, and if she understands the work, etc. But very important, you don't attack the teacher verbally. You must know, you know, this is your teacher, that your child's teacher, and we need to find a solution where our child is concerned. Remember, he's only starting school, and if we're going to keep on, the child will then expect, you know, every time you go, my mom is going to fight with the teacher because, or my mom is going to shout at the teacher because she's not doing what I want in class. So we need to be so careful how we speak to our teachers. We cannot just go there and accuse the teacher of anything. Or because the child said this is what the teacher did to me. No, we need to go there and try and solve the problem, find the problem, and then solve the problem. Make sure there is collaboration between home and school values with regard to discipline, respect, courtesy, etc. Very, very important. It's no use, and it's not a right thing to behave in one way, you know, expect your child to behave in one way at school and then come home and he sees the direct opposite of what is happening. This is so confusing to a child. So if you have certain values, you need to keep those values both at home and at school as well. So don't come with values that are good for the school but not good at home, or good at home but not good at school. So we can't go and confuse our children. Always talk positively about the teacher and the school in front of your child. always talk positively about the teacher and the school in front of your child. And this is very important. Car park gossip can influence your child negatively. Sometimes we don't realize that our children are sitting there and parents get together at the car park and we discuss the school and we discuss the teacher and, you know, the things that are happening. And children, little ears are listening, remember, and they actually get influenced by what you are saying. So be so careful what you say when you're waiting out there for your children. They say, always talk positively about the teacher and the school in front of your child. Car park gossip can influence your child negatively. Please remember, they are listening to you. You may be thinking that they're playing around and they're running around and they're not noticing or not hearing what you are saying, but they actually are. And also very important is to meet with the teacher regularly for follow-up meetings to monitor how your child is progressing. Do not, however, stand outside the class every day or visit the teacher every day. This will only frustrate the teacher. So very important, maybe once a week, twice a week if necessary, to visit the teacher and to discuss your child's progress. But please do not go there every day. You know, sometimes it does become a little frustrating to see the same face every day complaining, every day wanting to know what's happening. But make it, decide on a day, say, or speak to your teacher and find out if I come in on a certain day to find out about my child, is it okay? Or, you know, but don't become a nuisance to the teacher as well. And finally, try, very important, to establish a friendly relationship with your child. Remember, that is your child's teacher, and you need to be able to discuss things with your child openly, where your child is with your teacher, where your child is concerned. So keep that channels of communication open with your teacher and have a friendly relationship with your teacher, simply because your child is involved here. Well, listeners, that's about it where this program and the series of programs are concerned. I hope this program have been beneficial and will be of assistance to you if you happen to experience any of these problems where your child is concerned. So Allah make it easy for you and make it easy for your little ones, and then may they prosper as the years go by, inshallah. And just important that this is the very first year of their lives in school, and I think you need to get it right now. So try and do what is right for your child now. And I think most importantly, we need to realize that it's our child, and we need to get them interested in school. And also a very important thing is if sometimes little problems, learning problems, are picked up very early in their school lives, and if there are problems, please do not delay. There's so much of help out there for children that have problems. Make sure that you get the necessary help, work with your teacher, work with the school, and try and get the best help possible for your little ones, inshallah. Well, my du'as are out to everyone out there, but I have to end this program now, inshallah. We'll be back through the eyes of a child again. I'm going to obviously now stop this series, but I will go on to my normal programming from inshallah next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.